Abe Corbett died on Wednesday as a partial wall at the high school locker room at Williamston High School collapsed on him. It's just a terrible accident living in that community. Everyone is grieving there still. Police and school officials said he had either been climbing on the wall or doing a pull-up when it gave way. There is going to be a special memorial service tomorrow. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. On the other end of our line is Bob Colt from Colt Communications, and he's going to tell us what the school district has to do. I know it may seem cold and callous, but there's a way that businesses need to handle such situations, and we wanted to give Bob's take on this. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Tony.
I'm sorry to be calling you at with such a terrible topic, but it's something that I know if business has something like this happen, they've got to have a plan in place to deal with it, don't they?
Well, you do, and you have to think about it well before any sort of tragedy or accident would occur. In crisis communications, which we do a lot of in counseling organizations and businesses, you have to think like a fire. Prevention, detection, and extinguishing. And those are three phases of any sort of plan. First, prevention, which is preventing any sort of situation like this from ever happening. And that is walking around, looking for hot spots, troubled things. Any organization, particularly a school district, needs to really focus a crisis communication plan on that. What are all the bad things that could possibly go wrong? And then when a crisis does occur, do you have the detection, that smoke detector system in place that says something's gone off, something bad's happening, and how are we transmitting communication? And then in the extinguishing phase, which is really the full-out fire, you always have to think of safety first, and then gathering all the facts, good or bad. And sometimes organizations don't like to hear bad things. You hear all the time executives saying, don't bring me any bad news. But Tony, you know in a crisis, you need all of the negative information for important decision making. Then you go through setting up logistics of where information can flow, how decisions are made, who's the best spokesperson, what's the key message, is it human, and then how are you going to review and reflect and then finally act so it doesn't happen again?
Well, in dealing with this situation, the phone calls that I made, I was funneled to an individual who was that spokesperson. From what I understand, they had meetings set up soon after it was found, you know, what was happening. And their main thing wasn't really damage control, Bob. It was getting the kids and the teachers and the families and everyone else the help that they might need, the support that they might need, and trying to help everyone in the process grieve through this, and that had to be thought out also.
Right, that needs to be part of any plan. And again, it comes back to being human. How many times have you seen a crisis occur and an organization emerge just to say how many people were injured and it's too bad that it happened? Not even we're sorry. Or the next step, how are we going to deal with the people directly involved and get them the help they need? That's a good thought-out sort of process and plan, and hopefully continuing communications to the community.
All right. Now, say the entity has gone through the process and they've dealt with it head on. Now you got to think about the aftermath. What's discussed? What's done? What's implemented?
Well, you really need to take a look at that crisis communication, what went well and what did not. Sometimes people get so involved in managing a crisis, they, for instance, don't look at the media and whether or not everything was communicated accurately. Did we tell our story properly? Did the important information get out? If anything like that happened, what could we do again to make sure that we're a lot better in communicating? It seems like the response has been very good in that instance. I don't know all of the internal mechanisms that have gone off, but now you really look back and see what you've accomplished, and if there are failures, you tackle them again in a new communication plan.
Now, do the legal ramifications have to be considered? Is that something that may be being discussed?
Lawyers and public relations people, for instance, always have to work well together. If you want a prescription for failure, it's when they're working against each other. frankly, any lawyer who gets involved in a crisis situation, their first thought is to protect the legal case, which is certainly understandable. And they would say, let's not do anything or do any harm that would last long term. But most are very sophisticated, and I work well with them, as they say, what do we need to do to communicate, and what do we need to do to be concerned with any liability that may come up, because that really is a concern for organizations.
Bob, can you remember a similar crisis like what's happened out in Williamston happened and how it was handled perhaps poorly?
Well, there are crisis situations every day. You know, if you want the most well-known crisis situation of how badly a reaction was, look at the BP oil spill. It was just handled so badly. And eventually, after months and months, they decided to communicate, and they did that with an advertising campaign. Now, there's nothing wrong with the ads, but if you just look at how they responded, they had to do that just to save their skin because they communicated so poorly during a crisis.
Well, so what should they have done, Bob? Okay, we've got the spill. We've got a million gallons. It's just terrible. How should they have handled that differently?
Well, be honest with people. Tell them you don't have all the answers. Be engaged in gathering facts and information and releasing them as they become verified. And have the right spokesman. You know, BP, for instance, had the British CEO who came in and looked actually bored and did not want to be part of this. He wanted his life back, if you recall. Well, you know, people have a very low tolerance for that sort of thing, especially when they're aggrieved by any sort of tragedy.
You know, a negative situation is happening on the campus of Michigan State University. There have been some racial accusations and challenges with things left on doors and whatnot. And the Black Student Alliance believes that the administration is not handling this in a way that, I don't know, makes them feel comfortable. Although President Lou Anna Simon has attended a meeting with them, she heard some demands. Have you heard about that? And is there a way to make the people who are distraught to make them feel like you care about what's bothering them?
Well, the university has reacted. In hindsight, you always wonder what you could have done more to address the problem. And what it always says is that there are critics. No matter what you do, it cannot be enough. And you'll hear that in any sort of crisis situation. I don't know all the details, although I do teach at Michigan State University in the Advertising Public Relations Department. You know, anytime there is a group of individuals who have a claim and it's supported by information in the media, it needs to be taken seriously.
So bottom line, Bob, you just got to attack it and be honest and work your way through it.
Yeah, and the amazing thing about that, Tony, is that a lot of people duck. They don't attack things. They believe, well, we have a problem, it'll blow over. You know, those things have long-term damage on the image and reputation of an organization, and ultimately those things cause financial damage too.
All right, Bob Colt is with Colt Communications in Okemos. Bob, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Tony.